much, staff. Mr. Robertson, why don't we move to item number 9? Correct? Okay.
Item number 9 is concerning Frank Capurro and Sons in Monterey County. Thank you, Mr. Jeffy. We are proposing to rescind waste discharge requirements for this facility, and I believe we have a speaker card for that.
Right.
So, we can go straight to the speaker card with that.
Okay. Why don't we do that? Mr. Schimmick?
Gosh, it's seldom I get to talk in the morning to you guys. Good morning, everyone. My name is Steve Schimmick with the Otter Project in Monterey Coast Keeper. Happy holidays and welcome new board members. Thank you so much for your service. My request today is that you delay rescinding these WDRs for this packing plant. I think that it's just simply premature and not in the public interest to rescind the WDRs at this time. All of us that live in the Monterey Bay Area are familiar with the packing plant. It's very busy during the summer months. It's right on a dangerous curve, and there's trucks coming in and out, so we are all acutely aware that this packing plant is very busy. And here's a few pictures. I'll pass them out that you can look at that were taken literally just a couple days ago. You'll see that the parking lot for this plant is literally on the banks of the slough. Literally on the bank of the slough. So it's in a sensitive spot. The rescission is problematic for a variety of reasons. One is it just doesn't pass the straight-face test with me, going from 50,000 gallons per day permitted to zero, or essentially zero, and yet the packing plant is still in business and is still working. At the very least, you have condensation water from the coolers. So it just doesn't make sense. The plant was inspected in February when the plant is essentially closed down and shut down. That doesn't make sense and was a gaffe. I also want to note that the request for comment was minimal. We were not notified, and I think that it's pretty well known that we have a lot of interest in agricultural issues in our area and in the Elkhorn Slough and Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary. I would note that no one on Elkhorn Slough was notified. The Harbor District was not notified. Moss Landing Marine Labs was not notified. Elkhorn Slough Foundation was not notified. All the people that would have intimate knowledge of this plant were not notified. There was no follow-up. In fact, the only follow-up, according to the staff report, is that staff called the discharger and said, hey, would it be okay if we pulled your permit and didn't do it anymore? Well, yeah, of course. And there's very little public information available. This is the staff report right there. So what you have is a packing plant moving from 50,000 gallons a day, still in operation, saying that they no longer discharge anything. I don't think that that passes the straight-face test. I'm not suggesting that you place any more requirements on the plant. I'm just saying let's hold off for a year, make sure that the plant is inspected while it's in operation. So my request is that in the public interest, so that the public can be better informed and better participate in this process, that you wait for 1 year. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Schimmick, you live in the area, right?
Yes.
Have you seen any discharge wash water yourself at any time that you've driven by?
Well, it's difficult to get right to the spot where, in other words, it's unclear exactly where the discharge is. In other words, there's a parking lot, and then the slough wraps around behind the plant. So there's no way to really see it. And frankly, I'm very reluctant to go driving around on private property to try and find the discharge point.
Okay. Maybe we could have...
I have a question on a case like this, for example. If we ask the discharger, are you still discharging, yes or no? I mean, isn't the answer somewhat under perjury if you misrepresent and subject to, pretty severe penalties? Is that correct?
Yeah, the answer is yes.
So if there was misrepresentation or unfortunate oversight of a discharge,
right.
This would be a very serious matter.
Let's first ask staff what they saw when they did the inspection and get a little more background first before we necessarily jump to any conclusions about what may be going on and may what not be going on there. So I'd like to find out. This is Tom Kuchel's item. Is he here?
Yeah.
I saw one more hand up. Anything more for me?
Yeah. Well,
okay,
we'll get back to you in a second, okay? But I'd like to just hear from staff because the report says that staff inspected the facility.
This is Tom Kuchel of staff.
Okay.
Yes, I went out there in February. Prior to that, a year and a half ago, June 2010, the discharge informed us that they're no longer washing vegetables. We're finally getting around to rescinding their waste discharge requirements. The discharger themselves deserves some responsive government. A year and a half is quite a long time. But I did go out there in February, and yes, it was not at the height of the season. It was off-season. It had to be a skeleton crew out there. But I did speak to the plant manager, and I trust that what they're saying is true, that they don't have a vegetable wash water discharge. I looked at the pond itself. It looked to be very clear water. They informed me it was just condensate, that they only have condensate. They stopped washing artichokes a year and a half ago. I have hundreds of facilities to regulate. And I want to be fair not only to the environmental community, but the regulated community also. So what I saw out there was a de minimis discharge that they send to a pond. And then from that pond, they blend with irrigation water, which they then use on 300 acres or more of irrigated agriculture.
So have they changed their operation over the past couple of years? Besides they're not washing artichokes, are they washing anything else?
Definitely, they have changed quite a bit. They've cut down. They have more than one plant throughout the West, and operations shift and change. And perhaps our new board member knows better than I how agricultural food processors can change with the market.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Yes.
Did they request that their waste discharge requirements be rescinded?
They did. Well, I have an email from them, a very brief email they sent to my predecessor, and it says, let's see, just a note to let you know, as of June 15th, 2010, we no longer processing packing artichokes at the Moss Landing facility. This will significantly reduce the amount of water we use in the shed. We will continue all the water testing that is currently in place. Please let me know if this will have any impact on the amount, frequency, or timing of testing that is ongoing. So they let us know that they had cut back on their discharge and wanted to know if that would affect how they're being regulated. And I suggested to them that if you don't have vegetable wash water anymore, then perhaps you don't need a vegetable wash water waste discharge requirement.
Okay. Let me start at this end, Dr. Hunter. Mr. Jordan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think, Mr. Kuchel, you could probably answer this question. Do you have, there must be a source for the water that they were using in their prior operations. So is it metered, and do you have access to whether their metered use has dropped drastically?
They do have their sources on-site wells, and they reported to me in May this year that they do have metered water and that they're producing 472 gallons a day or 14,000 gallons a month that they blend with irrigation water They blend that with about 6 8-acre, well, the each month their wastewater condensate is blended with about 6 acre-feet of water, which they then use to irrigate food crops.
But since they're using a well, the overall source isn't really something that can be tracked historically.
The agricultural, how much water they pump from their private wells?
Yes. If they were washing at a certain level and now they say they're washing at a lower level, there's no way to historically see what the water usage started at and is now?
Well, they had a monitoring report, and they did have to monitor flows from their wash water. Now they tell me they have no wash water.
And we're looking for the source before it becomes wash water.
Yeah, we don't have a meter on the on the well water. It's used for not just washing.
Okay, Dr. Hunter.
Actually, thank you, Mr. Kuchel. I wanted to ask you about the MRP and flow, and if you see any changes that would confirm that they're no longer washing vegetables or artichokes.
They've been reporting significantly less flows. They've been reporting the condensate water. So our records do show de minimis flows, and I believe them.
So they don't need a permit at all for the de minimis flows that they're discharging?
It is condensate water. It's highly diluted. I suppose every discharge should be permitted, but there has to be a limit. There's only 4 of us permitters for hundreds of facilities throughout the region. And again, this water is used, it's recycled to ag fields, and it's not sanitary water. So I think that there are probably higher priority things for staff to focus on.
Okay. Any other board comments? Mr. Johnston?
Harvey wanted a point of clarification, I guess.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that they have never discharged to the slough and are not now discharging to the slough.
Right. Mr. Johnston?
I see no reason to disbelieve their statement that they've stopped washing artichokes. And though I know that that particular operation has made several changes over the last 5 or 6 years as to what products they handle and what their processes are, not unusual. I guess my question, it certainly seems possible that they will change back in the next few years to something that uses wash water. I guess I'm trying to understand what the impact on the permittee and the impact on the agency is if we simply leave this in place so that we don't, because it strikes me that should they change again to a process that involves wash water, that we'll have to go through a significant amount of work to reissue a permit. So what's the impact on the permittee, and what's the impact on our limited resources as an agency if we simply leave the permit in place?
The permittee just received their invoice for their annual fee, $3,500. They'll have to pay that. They'll have to assign staff to perform the monitoring and inspections and reporting on discharge that they don't have. There's no guarantee that they will wash again, but if they do, they know that they need to get that permitted. It's not an onerous process to get it permitted because we have a general waste discharge requirement for fruit and vegetable processors that we can enroll them in. It's a fairly streamlined process. So for the time being, the discharger would prefer not to have their non-existent vegetable wash water discharge regulated.
Are they currently enrolled under the general permit?
No, they're not, because, again, they don't have a vegetable processing wash water discharge.
No, but I understand that as of whatever the date was, they don't have that discharge. But prior to that, were they enrolled in the general permit, or were they enrolled in a specific?
They have an individual waste discharge requirement, and since the adoption of that individual waste discharge requirement, the board adopted the general waste discharge requirement. So as individual waste discharge requirements get old enough, they require review. And in this era, when we review old individual waste discharge requirements, we rescind them in favor of enrolling them under the general waste discharge requirement.
Tom, would you, if there were no request to rescind this by the discharger, would you, at this point in time, when you go to review this WDR, would you rescind and enroll them under the fruit and vegetable general WDR?
If they had a fruit and vegetable wash water discharge.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
One last question.
Go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
What's the compliance history on this particular operation?
I'm not aware of a significant violation history.
And reporting? Have they been compliant in reporting?
For the most part, yeah. They might have missed one or two here, and Cecile sent a notice of violation, and they responded.
And when they responded, did they provide full information, or were there gaps in their monitoring data?
We got full information. The monitoring isn't particularly detailed or onerous, but flow, basically, is what they report.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think, you know, just to understand the level of meeting the requirements and the fact that they missed a deadline and submitted a full report, whatever the requirements are, is what I'm trying to understand. I mean, this doesn't sound to me like an operator that's been problematic or has been reluctant to present, you know, violations or anything along those lines. We haven't seen that kind of practice going on with
them. Yes, I think the file would reflect that opinion.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, they just got an invoice.
Any of the board comments or questions?
Well, I do have a couple comments just to respond to Mr. Schimmick's questions. That he said that Moss Landing Harbor District was not on the list, but Moss Landing Harbor District is aware of the permit, and Moss Landing Harbor District is aware that Caprillo's son are in the process of leasing out that facilities for a different type of use than packing. And a lot of the packing that's being done by Caprillo and Sons are being done in Salinas at their facilities there. And most of their land that they have is now being leased out to other farmers that pack elsewhere at other facilities. So I could go either way on this, but I think it's you're asking somebody to spend another $10,000 or $15,000 to submit another permit, and it's obvious if they're not at the level that needs this type of permit, so why put them through that again? And you have to look at the cost benefit. And again, if they do violate that, then I think somebody brought up the issue of they would be in jeopardy of violating the law and would be subject to severe penalties. So with that, Mr. Schimmick, we are very well aware, and we're very Moss Landing Harbor District is very sensitive to any discharges to our harbor or to the slough.
Just very quickly to respond to that, I just think that the notification, the staff report, and the information available to the public is minimal in this case, and in fact, I think it's close to non-existent, and I don't think that serves the process well. And so I'm willing to go with the concept that okay, we look and we see when they are in operation as to whether or not they have discharge, and if they don't, then they can come back. But to do it on this amount of information with this amount of public notice, I don't think serves the public interest. Thank you.
I just have a
go ahead.
One last comment for you, Steve, to consider. The fact that the monitoring reports have shown a decreased flow demonstrates that the operation has changed. So I'm satisfied with that. So are you concerned then that this operation will reestablish at that wash water site and our vegetable washing site, and that we have no way to certify that they're going to step forward and say we need a permit again? Is that where you're headed?
I think I have a variety of concerns. First of all, there's other uses of water in a packing facility above and beyond just the wash water itself. There are styles of cooling, which is what this facility says that they are currently doing, that use great amounts of water. And so you know, do we have the information on whether or not they are using that type of cooling? You know, frankly, I heard some pretty kind of reaching, not really sure information when it came to, okay, what is their compliance history? There's nothing in the report that shows that history. And I don't think that we have enough information for the public to participate in this process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can I ask Mr. Kuchel, what in the assemblage of activities that are covered under vegetable washing, where does cooling water fit into that?
It's included in the description of fruit and vegetable processing discharge, but fruit and vegetable processors are not the only one that have condensers and cooling water, and that water is condensed water.
And so typically, do you see contaminants coming out of the cooling water system?
You might see some contaminants that through the cleaning and maintenance of those systems to some degree. You might see a more acidic or a basic water, but when you blend that with copious amounts of well water and you apply it to ag crops and the ag crops are not affected, then you can deduce that perhaps the pH isn't a problem or the cleaners aren't a problem. Mm-hmm. I'd like to mention the issue of if the public is not convinced that they have enough information that they are fully okay to call us and ask us for information.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the issue here Mr. Schimmick raised was that he wasn't notified as an interested party.
Mm-hmm.
So his ability to interrogate the record just wasn't sufficient.
Okay.
I don't know when he became aware of it. But, you know, the idea that, I mean, I'm willing to accept staff's characterization that compliance shows pretty much minimal violations in terms of reporting late,
mm-hmm.
but then providing adequate information to cover the period.
Okay. He did present some photos from a few days ago.
Yeah.
The first I heard from him was yesterday afternoon. There was some time to maybe get informed a little bit more.
So what did you see in those photos?
I haven't seen the photos.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, maybe someone can share.
Well, I think it's a good PR for Moss Landing for everybody to come and visit our great harbor and our sanctuary and have lunch at some of our famous restaurants there in Moss Landing. And I do appreciate Mr. Schimmick. It will save us many thousands of dollars of advertising. But I have to agree with Mr. Schimmick on notification. I think the staff should make more an effort to make the agencies that are involved in these types of projects or close to should be notified. After all, we are a public agency. We are here to serve the public, and we should try to make that aware to as many people as we possibly can. Okay. Not that we want to make our meetings any longer, but we surely want to have them have the opportunity to speak on these items if they wish, and important information supplied to us.
A quick question for Mr. Jeffries. You said you were aware that that the Moss Landing Harbor District was aware that Capura was in the process of leasing this out for a different use other than vegetable packing?
Yes.
Do you know what that is?
Yes, but I can't divulge that at this particular time. And the reason I have that information is because I chair the Moss Landing Harbor District. So, just to clarify for the people that sit in the audience.
I guess my question is if it's something that involves that would involve a discharge permit.
Eventually, it will.
Okay. Well, my thoughts on this are that this has been noticed, like we do every item in the agenda. There's been a number of weeks, certainly for Mr. Shemek, and I want to gently scold him a little bit, which I think he can take it, for maybe not coming forward a little sooner and talking to staff about this or sharing the photos or looking in the file for himself to see what's there, which I know he's very capable and could do to dig something up for us to really grab onto. This is a situation where there's just an absence of information, but we have statements that there's no discharge. And I don't see any reason why we shouldn't accept that at face value at this point. I hate seeing people spend money of that magnitude. It used to be somewhat a lot more modest to get permits. It's going up and up and up. And so I'm that does weigh on my mind as to what we're doing when we make a decision like this. I would encourage staff, I'm sure. Mr. Kukul, where are you? Okay. Can you tell us about the cover letter that goes back to the discharger when you are rescinding a permit?
Yes, we send them a cover letter. It says that the board rescinded the permit. It could say you are not allowed to discharge vegetable process water without waste discharge requirements.
Well, you say it could. Is there a standard form that staff uses that you would just...
The standard form is brief. It just says we rescinded your waste discharge requirements.
Well, I think it's important that this discharger know that if there's any change in circumstance, that change in use...
Yes, that's easily done. We can do
that. They are under a legal obligation to report that to the board and seek enrollment in some type of permit.
Okay. Should the board rescind the waste discharge requirements, we'll make sure the cover letter says that.
Okay. All right. Any other board comments or thoughts on this? Dr. Wolf?
Yep. Maybe, and that, your suggestion is exactly where, I was going through in my mind, but perhaps in addition is to clarify also that if they could then enroll in this new general permit that we have. That way it clarifies, okay, this permit expires. Bear in mind you cannot have any activity anymore pertaining to the vegetable wash. Should you restart your activities, you will be subject to the general permit XYZ. That way they know very clearly, no more activity, and then you would go under this new permit, and then they have an understanding of what that would entail to.
I like that, except I don't want to exclude the possibility of us adopting another individual WDR if we think that new facility might need special attention.
Yeah, I think it's important that they know that if there's a change in use, change in circumstance, or there's going to be a discharge, that they're under a legal obligation to notify the board and to get some type of permit. Otherwise, they could be subject to penalties, civil penalties.
Yes.
Okay.
It is important. We will tell them that.
Okay.
The other thing I would like to see,
sure.
And tell me if this is appropriate, my understanding is that what's happening to the cooling water right now is it's blended with copious amounts of well water and used as irrigation water.
Yes.
I'm wondering if it's appropriate for the cover letter to also say that if there's a change in the way that they deal with the cooling water, that we want to know about it. I don't know if that's probably not the artful way to say it. Because it is, the point that Mr. Shimmick makes that resonates quite a bit with me is the place is surrounded practically on three sides by the slough. So it is certainly a very sensitive location. I'm satisfied that we shouldn't be requiring them to to continue to monitor if they're not doing the activity that the monitoring was designed to monitor. But it is a very sensitive location.
We can make clear that any change in discharge of condensate water needs to be permitted.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So this item just had us. Mr. Packard, do you have something to add?
I have something to add, but it's not about this item in particular.
Okay.
It's about notification of the public in general. If you'll note in the agenda, I think there are at least four items that include a rescission of waste discharge requirements. And at the advice of Francis, we're going to look at changing the way that we present those to you. And in our next meeting, what we're planning to do is instead have one numbered resolution that will include all the rescissions that we'd like the board to consider. So instead of four or five different items, you'll have one. You'll have a paragraph for each rescission, and it will be an action that the board takes. Right now, when we write this letter to Capurro, what we'll say is, at the meeting, the board rescinded your waste discharge requirements. There is no resolution that memorializes that action, and that is what we're planning on changing in the future. What will change with respect to public notification is that resolution will be notified or noticed in the agenda notice that will go out at least 10 days before the meeting. So I want to warn you up front that the notification in some cases may be actually less. It will definitely meet any legal requirements. So.
But it will clarify as a group the intent to rescind a permit.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Instead of this one-page staff report, we'll have one paragraph that will describe the order that's being rescinded.
Okay. So if any, for someone like Mr. Shumake or other groups that are watching certain kinds of activities, it would be one location to
right.
check to see, and it would include everything from maybe you could just describe how would the report, this report for this hearing, change
in
format?
Well, for instance, right, if we look at today's agenda, it would change item number 9, item number 10, item number 14, mm-hmm. item 15. Those all involve rescissions.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of four or five different items, we'd have one item
uh-huh.
that described each of those rescissions.
Okay. So it should make it easier for the public to track on permits that are being pulled.
Right. And we're modeling that after what we've seen some of the other regions do.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it more clear and makes it memorializes the decision with the resolution also.
Right. Right, which is also more clear.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think I like that change, and I think it's beneficial to us as well as to our interested communities. All right.
And I want to clarify in the notice that for rescissions, the board is required to have 10 days notice to the people that they know or have interest in the matter. And in this case, I think the general process for this board is to notice the agenda at least 10 days ahead. So this item was noticed in the proper manner at least 10 days ahead. So the notice is legally correct.
Okay. All right. With this item, the board still has to vote on it because we pulled it off the uncontested items calendar. We've got a recommendation to rescind the order. Mr. Robertson, any suggestions on what else we might do with this?
Well, I was going to suggest that Mr. Packard and I had previous conversations about maybe doing a peak season inspection of the facility to address Mr. Shimmick's comments about the previous inspection that had happened during the non-peak season. In February, I think, was when the last inspection occurred, and Harvey and I had talked about doing a peak season, like summertime season inspection for the facility, in spite of the fact that this WDR is potentially going to be rescinded.
And just to add, the other thing you've discussed is you could put in the motion that the rescission, if you choose to rescind it, that the rescission letter include a direction to the discharger that should they discharge waste that could affect the quality of the waters of the state, they must submit a report of waste discharge and seek waste discharge requirements, and maybe have a little more information about, in this case, what that means. So your motion could include that kind of language.
Okay.
So just to be clear, Mr. Robertson, you're suggesting that staff can do a peak season inspection after, if the permit is pulled? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
so let's go over what we've got. We've got the motion's going to have in it that we're going to rescind the order subject to a peak season inspection, and then just kind of notification language.
Change of use.
Language in the cover letter.
And that language speaks to both resumption of wash water operations requiring permitting and change in the manner of handling cooling water.
Of condensate. Yeah.
And just I would suggest that it not be specifically limited to that, because they could potentially have some other kind of discharge. The water code says that any person failing to furnish a report or pay a fee when so requested by a regional board is guilty of a misdemeanor and may be liable civilly. So the letter could say that if you fail to furnish the report, we're requesting that you furnish it if you are discharging waste, and that they would then be on notice. They would be subject to penalties.
Okay. Mr. Robertson, are you going to be involved in that language? You and Mr. Kugel?
Actually, Harvey Packard and I will sit down after the meeting, and we can talk about what the letter content should be.
All right. A motion.
I move to approve with the amendments.
Okay. We have a second. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Thank you very much. Before we go to agenda item 11, we're going to take a quick break of 15 minutes. Use the side.